Vedanta classes, they say that once you discover that the veil is water, there is nothing more to be sought.
The moment you
discover that the wave is water, that when you discover the oneness of your beingness, then what is the need for perfection that we talk of? Once that dissolves the ego, once you discover that.
No, there is, apart from, this is the whole Bhagavad Gita's basic teaching. Apart from your knowledge of oneness with the Divine, there is a question of manifestation of the Divine. So liberation is to be followed by perfection.
For the manifestation.
The moment you withdraw from gunas, you are liberated. But then what happens to the gunas? That was the question that Sri Krishna answers in the 14th chapter. You go beyond the gunas. When you go beyond the gunas, you arrive at the divine being. But also madbhavam, but also my nature. The realization is often limited to the knowledge of the divine being. And very often there is a tendency to give up the nature, the activity, the manifestation. Those who want, however, not only to be freed into the divine being, but also want to manifest, for them the question remains. And this question is very important for Arjuna, because Arjuna says, I want to go out of this world. When the very first declaration is, I don't want to fight because it is better for me to withdraw. So for him it was an easier thing to come out of the gunas and come out of it. But Sri Krishna says, no, you have to fight. Now, how fighting is possible with liberation? Unless there is something more than liberation. Merely going and withdrawing into the divine nature, divine being, is not enough. This whole world is a manifestation of the divine. This manifestation has arisen out of Paraprakriti, which is beyond the three gunas. So apart from divine being, there is also the nature which is beyond three gunas. When you come out of the three gunas and enter into the divine being, you have to identify also with the divine nature. It is from that divine's nature that this battle is going on. So if you stand upon not only divine being but also in divine nature, then you will be able to be the instrument of God's action. That is perfection. All right. Yes, it is true.
Isn't there a difference between Salokya Mukti and Sadharma Mukti?
Yeah, that's right. It is not only Salokya Mukti, you are not only one with the divine being, but also you are also Dharma. The mode of action is also the identical with the mode of action of the divine himself. So you become divine not only in your being, also in your action.
And nature,
correct, absolutely. That is, you become not only Akshara Purusha, nor do you become only Akshara Purusha, you become Purushottama. And your being is actually Ansha of that Purushottama, neither of Akshara nor of Akshara. Your origin is Mama Eva Ansha Sanatana. Your own nature, your own being is Ansha, is a portion of that Purushottama. Therefore, be thou as perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect. The Father in heaven is not only being but also power. He is also manifesting power. And you are only a child of that one. You are himself, yourself that one. Therefore you can become as perfect as he is. If you are not the portion of that reality, such a teaching would be irrelevant. At the most you can be told that you become like him. But what Christ said is, you become as perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect. That is the teaching also of the Bhagavad Gita. You become the manifestation of the divine and manifest the divine perfection in your action. Your action must be as perfect, not tainted by sattva, rajas and tamas. This is, and how do you achieve that? How do you go beyond it? That is the subject matter of chapter number 16, 17, 18 of the Bhagavad Gita, in which, in brief, he says that you develop sattvic nature first. Rajas and sattva are superior to tamas. So first of all, tamas and rajas you transform. Transform and make it sattva. Therefore you will find in 16th, 17th, 18th chapters, everywhere Sri Krishna describes what is tamas, what is rajas, what is sattva. And then says that when you reach sattva, then you can make a transition. When you make a transition, you become divine. Divya karma you are able to perform. You become yourself the instrument of the divine. Nothing of the sattva, rajas and tamas remains in you. The divine nature takes hold of you. So you become in yourself sadharmya. Your own nature, your action will be as the divine's action. So that completes the whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not only a teaching of liberation. The teaching of the Gita is not considered upon the moksha. It is considered upon divine action, manifestation of the divine in action. Otherwise Arjuna had said, I will immediately go out of this world, I don't want to be here. And Krishna should have encouraged him, said, very fine, one more saint now in the company of many others, added to that whole vast galaxy. But Sri Krishna says, no. Although moksha is a step, that is not the end. You are here on the earth, why did you take bondage? You have come to bondage not out of any compulsion. At the time of the assumption of bondage, you are free to be bound or not to be bound. You are already free, then why do you take bondage? There was a reason. The reason is that having bound yourself into sattva, rajas and tamas, you transform them. This transformation power is a further work to be done, and that can be done only by karma yoga. One who does not do karma yoga cannot achieve this transformation of sattva, rajas and tamas. And it is that karma which is the central teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. It is that which leads us to perfection, not only liberation but also perfection.